T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The following is a special edition of the Mark Reardon Show.
Live from the 100th PGA Championship at Belrive Country Club and the National Car Rental Studios, it's Mark Reardon.
He's been the talk of the course today with his huge drives and his amazingly bizarre behavior.
Now, Mark Reardon on your official PGA Championship information station, KMOX.
Well, good afternoon from Belrive Country Club on day two of the 100th PGA Championship. This is Mark Reardon. We are doing the Reardon Roundtable from Belrive this afternoon. I'm very excited. Jane is standing by, the rest of our panelists. How are you, Jane?
Awesome. A little warm, but it's been incredible.
We walked the course this morning. I showed you all around. I got to see some holes that
course.
I hadn't seen. Yeah, we pretty much did a circle around the course. We saw some great shots. We saw some errant shots.
We did.
And joining us on the roundtable for the first time, another Reardon. And he might replace one of these other guys. Jeff Rainford's here, Chris Goodson, but hang on. Hold
He's the
those
good
thoughts.
Reardon.
Dan Reardon. They're calling him the good Reardon. How are you, Dan?
I'm doing.
No relation. I always have to say that. You're off. I'm off track on that.
And I'm glad that I've rectified at least in my mind one thing. I always wonder whether it was called the round table because the people were round or the table was round.
Well, sometimes it's both.
Okay. Well, it looks like it's not the people being round.
Thank you.
What about this day of golf?
The players have figured it out. I mean, it's the simplest thing to say. They, you know, you will see the tour pros. You can throw a lot of things at them, and over a course of 4 days, they'll figure something out. We've seen a 7-under 63 already posted. We've seen 10-under as the minimum halfway leader. So now we're definitely looking at double figures to win this championship. The other thing I would caution, though, is we'll see this scoring continue today, and we'll see it through tomorrow. But the reality of winning a major championship kicks in on Sunday, and guys that are now shooting 63, 64 are unlikely, unless this course becomes very simple to them, they're unlikely to shoot that. In fact, the history right now on the PGA Tour this year is third-round leaders are now fourth-round winners.
Hmm.
What did Kevin Kisner do on the back nine? Of course, that was his front nine this morning. A birdie at 10, a birdie at 11, a birdie at 13, at 15, at 17, and 18. What an amazing nine holes for him as he sits, what, second or third?
Yeah,
this afternoon.
But the book on Kisner is Kisner can putt. He's done nothing this year other than he was in the hunt on the final day at Carnoustie. He was the guy that had the 54-hole lead last year at Quail Hollow. He's a guy that when he can roll the ball and get the ball in the hole, doesn't hit it long, hits a lot of fairways, lots of fairways. He's a guy that you're always surprised to see him there, but right now he's developed a pattern of playing well in major championships and then not doing so well on the regular tour.
So it's Gary Woodland at minus 10. He has finished his round, as has Kevin Kisner. They were out on the course together. Brooks Koepka is minus 8 for the day. He sits at minus 7 for the tournament. He's in the clubhouse. Dustin Johnson making a run right now. He's at minus 7.
Keep Koepka in mind. Kepka's the real deal. You know, we see him win back-to-back Open Championships. This performance the first 2 days here suggests that he's in the same form that he was back at Shinnecock. And he's got the length to play this golf course.
Francisco Molinari had a really good round this morning as well. He's at minus 5. This guy, I don't know if I asked you about him yesterday, but Brandon Stone, who's from South Africa, is sitting in a great spot right now, also at minus 5. He had a good round. And, minus 6. He's a guy I don't know much about.
He's played twice in the PGA Championship, both missed the cut both times, so this is a new experience for him. Obviously, the first day performance, he's backed it up. Remember, the PGA Championship used to have a history of less than notable players. And, of course, the last winner here in 92 was a South African as well. I don't think that means anything, but I'll just throw that
nice
in.
Nice little trivia. That's right. Nice little trivia for sure. So, at this point, the cut line would be where?
If you're at even at this point in time, you're playing on the weekend. And that looks right now reasonably secure. I don't see, given the nature of the scoring we're seeing, I don't see it going up to plus one. But it puts the pressure on this spotlight group, and both Tiger and Rory and Justin all parred their opening holes. But if any of those players take a backward step, they're gone for the weekend.
Wow.
And I think even Will will probably hold up. That's a guess, obviously, but I think it will hold up just on based on the scoring we're seeing.
So one of the concerns and one thing that could affect the scoring this afternoon is the weather. Mm-hmm. And it looks like we have some storms that could pop up. I ran into Megan from Channel 4 not too long ago at the media center. She says, yeah, there's a possibility. It
clouds
start
coming.
Like 3 or 4 o'clock. It just sort of depends what bubbles up in the atmosphere. Dan, you have to go back on the course. We appreciate it. Unless you want to weigh in on politics. I told you, I made this offer.
I'm more than willing to stay around. I have nothing
Whoa.
To do.
We don't have enough microphones, so I'm going to have to cut you loose.
The good Sorry, Dan.
Hey, Dan, next time. I'll get you in here, I promise. So thank you so much, and we'll hear from him throughout the afternoon on CamWex. So let me welcome in the rest of the panel here as we're all sweating like crazy. This is hotter than yesterday,
I will say.
But I'm not going to complain because it's a lot hotter on the course. We're in the
first
shade
First world
in
problem
here.
Right.
It is. And let me tell you what else is a first world problem. I posted a couple of pictures of this yesterday. Let me welcome in Jeff Rainford, the former chief of staff for Mayor Slay. And Goodson, you're a great-looking dude, and you dress great, but he's got the sport coat on.
Long-sleeve shirt,
bleeding
pants.
Through the shirt here this afternoon. You okay, buddy?
Well, I pulled out the green jacket, but I thought wrong tournament when I woke up this morning.
By the end of this hour, we may have to, like, ice you down just to keep you
I don't dress that well when I go to church.
A gentleman never takes off his jacket in front of a lady.
Well,
so,
clearly I'm not a gentleman. What
there
I was going to say
go.
Is, so if you go into the members of the media are so spoiled, and Rainford, you've been around, you know, idiot media people like me for a long time. Not only do you get 3 catered meals a day, but they have a massage booth, for lack of a better term, $1 per minute, which isn't too bad when you think about it.
Well, not only that, but especially when the leaders or when the famous players are around, there's 16, 17 deep, and then you see guys in golf carts with the media being, get out of my way, and driving every
He's doing massages, and I'm going to find players.
Chris ran
here.
Off to get Diet Cokes,
Coke.
Or it looks like Michelob Ultra. And what'd you do? Tip a guy to bring you back your
cart? And I got to give a little shout out to Jack from Lindenwood College. He's a senior. I hopped in his cart and bought him a couple beers, and he gave me a ride.
So that's good.
He gave me a ride, Jack from Lindenwood. So, but I owed him a couple beers. I think he's of age. I hope. Raymer.
Well, look, there's a lot of stuff to talk about here. Yeah, good job. You just contributed to the delinquency.
Yeah,
good job,
exactly.
That's great.
He can't be fired. He's working for free. So.
A lot of topics to cover this afternoon on this roundtable, so we're going to get to those in the next segment. But, Jeff, let's just start here with this tournament, with this event. I know there's a lot of folks out there who probably don't care about golf, but just for what this is doing for St. Louis overall, the economic impact, just a proud moment that we can finally have after some setbacks and some things that we're not too proud of here in St. Louis. It's an awesome event, and the PGA deserves a lot
I have
of
a conflict
here.
Of interest because I'm a golfer and I love golf. I know the players. I even know the lesser players. But even people who are not golfers, a friend of mine came out yesterday and saw Tiger play. Everybody knows who Tiger is. He didn't know anything about golf. He's African-American, and he was so proud that Tiger Woods was in St. Louis. So there's lots of aspects to it. The one is I've watched a little bit of this on TV. They are gushing about St. Louis. They're mm-hmm. gushing about the size of the crowds. They're gushing about Belle Reve. The second is the St. Louisans who put on the tournament. They've done a wonderful job, but they've also been inclusive as far as getting young African-American kids working. They've done a great job with the logistics considering they couldn't park everybody over at Hunter Farms.
Yep.
I mean, there's really, you know, and the national guys are talking really highly about the golf course itself. And because of the crowds and the amount, we're not too far from the PGA shop. They're selling, you know, like great
gazillions.
Guns. I don't know how we don't get other national events off of this.
35
And I'm a homer, I get it, but I think that this is a big deal.
It is a big deal. Chris Goodson.
So it's a round table, so you always have to be the contrarian. I think it's a net probably economic benefit because a lot of guys won't be going to the movie or restaurants or things like that. But he does
have a point there.
But the biggest thing, I mean, and this is huge, it's like a commercial we couldn't pay for across the whole world.
Right.
I mean, no matter what station you're looking at or what paper from Wall Street Journal or New York Times, they're saying St. Louis, Belle Reve, St. Louis, and they're saying cool town. So I tried to put in perspective if I was watching it about Pittsburgh and all I heard was Pittsburgh's cool, I'd be like, hey, that'd be a cool place to go to. So as far as buying ad time, you can't place a dollar figure on
that. You know, one observation, Jane and I were talking about this morning. We've all been to big sporting events, World Series, playoffs, football. We used to have football here in St. Louis. I have to give a little credit to the fans because there are so many of them, and people are and look, if you know golf, you know you can't be loud, and you have to look at what the marshals are doing. You can't talk during the shots or make noises. We saw a baby that was screaming off hole 11 today, and mom was trying to keep the baby. That's not a great place for a baby.
Shoot the baby.
The crowds are so respectful and friendly, and
crowded.
You're bumping into a lot of people. Everyone's bumping in. It's sweaty. Everyone's being cool. And I saw a couple of people the other day that were wasted out of their minds, but I haven't seen a lot of, because that's where it goes off the rails when people are.
Well, you go to the Phoenix Open, you get to the 16th hole down in Phoenix in February, and they are so drunk and they're so loud. You think you're at a casino or something. Listen, I think that from top to bottom, St. Louisans have distinguished themselves. Mike DiCola and the team that put this together, this is really a professional operation considering the complexity of it. The people are great. And again, you know, what I've seen on television and the coverage, and these are golf guys, okay? They're not like, Chamber of Commerce guys. They're really impressed by St. Louis, impressed by the golf course. You know, this gets back to we're going to compete for national events, for instance, at the Scott Trade Center and elsewhere. I hope this is something we can show these folks to bring these events here, because I'll tell you what, when you get a Final Four basketball tournament, when you get a PGA championship, I'm going to be sad when the darn thing's over.
Yeah, I know, the only perspective, and I don't want to get into this today because we're not going to take calls, but on Monday I may dabble in this a little bit, because those of us sitting around the round table, which is rectangle today, we're a little spoiled when it comes to parking access and things like that. But that Fenton lot, and I know they really didn't have any other option, really. I think last time at the BMW Championship, they went to Hollywood Casino Amphitheater. But look, it's a bit of a hassle to get here, and you have to get out early and sit through traffic. That's part of the game. The other part of it is, as crowded as it is out here, those lines for beverages and for food. But how do you get around that? That's what happens at every major event.
People are being pretty nice about it. I mean, this crowd, I mean, I don't know if there's some sort of limits that they put on the number of people.
Well, I asked one of the members here, I said, did you oversell the tickets?
That's what it feels.
I'm kind of guessing that they did.
We've heard that they did.
I'm guessing they did.
I don't know.
Because it is really crowded. And what, by the way, if Tiger Woods or one of the really famous players is in the running, a Ricky Fowler is in the running on Sunday. This place at 3 o'clock Sunday afternoon.
That's great. We're always complaining about not having density. This is great.
People are handling it well.
Yeah, no.
So, you know, it could be really ugly, and it's not.
Speaking of Tiger, he is
minus one.
First hole. Justin Thomas has also birdied hole number one today. We're going to keep you posted on the leaderboard, of course, sitting at the top right now with some great rounds this morning. Gary Woodland, minus 10.
Watching those two.
Kevin Kisner, yeah, that was a fun
incredible
group to watch. And those guys.
So do you know what the ratings will be Sunday if Tiger's in the final, you know, if he's got a run at it in the final hour or two? The TV ratings, how many people will be watching St. Louis?
Wouldn't get too excited about that right now because there's a big
gap. Nine back.
Nine back, yeah.
You know, he throws some birdies.
But he's right. Dan's right. When you get these kind of mid-level players who are going hot Thursday, Friday, they often fall back into the pack. I don't think that the players who are in the top three are going to be the players who are going to be there.
Which is what makes it exciting, though. There's not an obvious winner. That's what's great about the PGA right now.
I like Dustin Johnson. I love Dustin Johnson in this tournament. Right now, he's sitting in fourth place, tied for fourth, minus seven today. Minus four today, minus seven overall. So let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk some politics. There was an election this week, Jane. Did you hear about that?
I heard about it.
There was an election. There were some upsets in those elections. And there was a Republican who lost to a Democrat in a Democratic primary for St. Louis County Executive. We're going to talk about all of that on the roundtable coming up next on KMOX.
Live from the 100th PGA Championship at Belle Reve Country Club and the National Car Rental Studios, it's Mark Reardon.
The sure way to get a par is to leave a 4-foot birdie putt 2 inches from the hole.
Now, back to Mark Reardon on your official PGA Championship information station, KMOX.
Well, we got a Reardon Roundtable live at Belle Reve Country Club in the National Car Rental Studio at the 100th PGA Championship National, the official rental car of the PGA Championship. And we'll get to some politics, but Janet, I just want to make mention, and I wish I remembered the kid's name, and I think it was a young club pro or maybe just a PGA player we didn't know. I think this was on the eighth hole we were watching, and he was in the rough. It looked like it almost looked like it was another tee box. It wasn't. And the poor guy, poor guy hits out of the rough. I'd say 150 yards, and he hits a chair, and the ball bounces back 20 yards from where he hit, maybe 15 yards from where he hit. That's my specialty shot on a golf course, Jeff. Wait, you could do that too, right?
I kind of like
well,
that.
Well, it's funny you say that because there was a player I was on nine hole, and one of the pretty good players. I think I can't remember who it was. I think it was a player from England, and he three putted from like 12 feet. And a couple of old duffers behind me are like, oh, yeah, that's how I do it. And I'm like, yeah, go do it in front of 30,000 people when you're playing for $2 million.
Yeah,
and,
it's tough.
You know what would be really cool?
7,000-foot course.
That would be cool is to have like 10 guys like Rainford. You get amateurs get to play during this, like 10 cup. That'd be kind of a
you
cool
mean
event.
Like the rodeo clown?
Yeah. remember Kevin Costner at 10 Cup?
Yeah. That's such a great movie. Every time that movie's on, by the way, I watch it. I watch part of it.
I had a buddy yesterday who 10 Cup won. He had to hit ball over the water. He had to hit six to get it over the water.
That'll happen.
But
all right.
Got it over the water.
Let's get into some issues here. Jane Duker, what happened to Bob McCullough?
Oh,
what
a
shocker.
It was a stunner. I mean,
did you see that coming at all?
No.
Rainford, did you see it coming at all?
No.
Even during when the first rounds came in, I thought, okay, you know, that's some central corridor, but South's going to come in, and, you know, and I thought he's going to make up the difference, and it's stunning, and it just shows you, you know, vote, people, elections matter, and, you know, Wesley Bell got people out. I do think the central corridor, Lisa Clancy, really helped with both the Republican challenger in the Democratic primary and helped, Wesley Bell.
Pat Dolan for St. Louis County Council seat. Pat Dolan, one of the only, if not the lone remaining ally for Steve Stanger. But Jeff,
Labor,
what does this mean for St. Louis County with Bob McCullough and that experience? And I don't know, you know, one of the stories, one of the narratives, and we ran it on KMOX, and I'm hoping this isn't going to happen. I mean, all you have to do if you're a person who thinks that the Darren Wilson case should be reopened is read the Justice Department report, the FBI interviews, or read the transcripts. There are no charges that should be made, and that's why there were no charges. But, of course, he is elected by a constituency that's going to want to see something, I guess.
Well, we're in a weird time, okay? We're in a time when elections, even for positions of expertise, like being a prosecutor, which takes expertise, it's about ideology, it's about the past, it's about passion. And so in the city of St. Louis, we elected a reformer circuit attorney, and I think it's, you know, pretty universal. It's not going well for her.
I think you mispronounced the word incompetent, but that's okay.
Well, she has more state criminal experience
than Wesley Bell.
Right, I was coming to that. So Wesley Bell, who was a councilman in Ferguson, that's his claim to fame. He is
a
lawyer.
He was a muni judge.
He is a lawyer.
In Velma City.
He is a lawyer, he's never been a prosecutor, isn't a trial attorney, has never run a large staff like he's going to have, and he got elected over ideology, over Michael Brown, over Ferguson, all those things. But it's happening on both sides, Republican side and the Democratic side. And one thing I got to say is, Kim Tucci used to say this about restaurants, fastest way to close down a restaurant is have a great marketing plan with a terrible product.
Mm-hmm.
Wesley Bell had a great marketing plan. He's won. If he has a terrible product, there's going to be hell to pay. Now, what that hell
is,
I don't know.
I think because Kim Gardner ran into trouble quickly. And if we start seeing crime spikes and we start seeing things, I mean, people will not put up with it.
Chris
Jane,
Gibson.
Well, Jane, you hit it exactly. That's what concerns me. Chicago just released their data on homicides last week from the FBI. Right? They're having a big crisis in homicides. 85% of homicides are not prosecuted. Now, think about that. That doesn't mean take it all the way to guilty. 85% are not prosecuted. That means you have a 9 out of 10 chance of killing somebody and walking free because they're taking a hands-off approach in Chicago. If that's I don't know anything about this Bell guy, but if he takes the same approach like Gardner and takes a hand-off, we're going to see a larger spike in crime.
But go ahead. I'm sorry,
what I don't get, though, just on a general thing, maybe Jeff and Jane can chime in on here. I don't understand why we have a Democrat Republican type election for the prosecutor's
office. I don't
either.
I really
should be nonpartisan.
Or even county executive.
We want the Harvey Dent, right? We want the guy to come clean it up like Batman. And instead, we have this bifurcated type election cycle. And McCulloch, who is probably on the general election, would win hands down, is now sitting on the sideline.
Well, and here's another issue here. Yes. Why did the Republicans not put up a candidate for
that's
county?
Simple.
That is
not
ridiculous.
They didn't think
First of all, they didn't think they could win, and they didn't want to draw Democratic voters out against them in November and hurt Josh Hawley. That was simple. That's why.
Right,
but you're thinking politics, not real. The real things.
They're
they should
in
be
politics.
Thinking
about. The Republican Party is all about politics.
So one of the most basic things, which is, you know, keeping your county safe. One of the biggest functions now So there's no candidate. So the primary decided the race.
So, and, but this is no. This
well,
is,
that essentially decided the county executive's race too. I mean, for all, intents and purposes.
But that, but the Republican Party chose to do that. That was a conscious decision.
Jeff, I'm
that
not
they
giving
made.
Them a pass. I'm thinking everybody, both Democrat and Republican, are thinking politics, 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 and we're going to get the net result of this, which is two guys in there or one guy, at least in the prosecutor's office, that may not be competent. And here we go.
But you know the thing I want to see. We don't have the township by township yet.
Not yet. We'll be on the
21st. Be interesting is. I did check one number. So I figure the county is about 55% Democratic because Hillary got about 55% of the vote. 72% of the people who took ballots took Democratic ballots. I think a lot of your party took ballots, and
guaranteed.
I bet you they
you know
voted
what,
for
though?
Bell.
I disagree.
Well,
I disagree.
For Bell.
If there was a huge Republican crossover.
Not huge.
If
but
there
enough.
Were some, but
there
those
some.
Would have been McCullough votes.
Right. So I was,
that's
I
my
was,
fault. But you know, the contrary to that is that Republicans were madder than anybody at the whatever you want to call is going on in St. Louis County now.
Not at McCullough.
Not at McCullough.
You know what? Maybe it was everybody.
No, I can tell you not at
McCullough. Not mad at McCullough.
No. And so but the numbers,
been,
to
let's see what the townships
right.
look like.
We had a lot of labor renters. I call them renters, people who don't normally jump into primaries. We went from 21% in 2010 to 29% turnout in 2014, which was also a very high one, all the way up to 42%. I think that's Prop A. I mean, I really
no,
do.
Well, Prop
I think a lot
a,
of that
so
is Prop
A. So I did
a.
check that number, too. 36,000 people who voted no on Prop A did not vote in the county
races.
Executive's race.
And, 30, you had
and the guy won, Steve won by like 1,200.
All right, we've got to take a break.
7,000 votes.
Hang on. I want to talk about Prop A and some of these other things. Chris Goodson on the panel. Jeff Rainford, Jane Duker. It is live. A Reardon Roundtable from the 100th PGA Championship at the National Car Rental Studio. We're back in a moment on KMOX.
Live from the 100th PGA Championship at Belle Reve Country Club and the National Car Rental Studios, it's Mark Reardon.
I was hoping to squeeze in 9 holes before this rain starts.
Certainly, Your Eminency.
Now, back to Mark Reardon on your official PGA Championship information station, KMOX.
It is a live Friday afternoon Reardon Roundtable at the PGA Championship in the National Car Rental Studio. National, the official rental car of the PGA Championship. On the panel this afternoon, Jane Duker and also Jeff Rainford, Chris Goodson. Let's talk about a couple other things that happened. You mentioned right to work. Look, Chris, I'd like your perspective on this because I don't think the proponents of right to work ever made a case that you should vote yes. And the no folks ran a great campaign. They spent a lot of money. I think there are a lot of Republicans that voted no for Prop A. It went down abysmally.
Yes. I mean, from the basis, I promoted my company on performance, not how long you've been there. I mean, that's like a baseball player. If he's been there for 20 years, you want him out pitching on the mound or the guy who's the best guy. That's me philosophically. But from a campaign perspective, the no right to work guys ran an excellent campaign. I mean, they worked their tail off. They went door to door. They did marketing. They did everything that's perfect. And the other side sat on their hands. Again, from a businessman's perspective, I think it's a non-starter. We are where we are before, and it doesn't really matter, except for this factor. 8 states that surround us are right-to-work states, right? And they're not sitting back going, hey, Missouri, we're cool. We're going to be gentlemen about it and not talk bad about you. You know when corporations are looking to locate, Kentucky, Tennessee, and all those are going, hey, come to us. We're a right-to-work
okay,
state.
Okay, and you're,
right?
I think you're right about that.
We've got to combat
that. Is that going to make a difference, Jeff?
Well, I mean, listen, there are right-to-work states that are doing great, and there are states where unions are welcome that are doing great, and there are, you know, there's a little bit of both. I mean, there is some evidence that there are southern states that are doing better because they're right-to-work, but, you know, some of the east and west coast states
are
doing great, too.
Bad, right?
So, I mean, there's more than one way to skin a cat. The reason, if we want to argue about right to work, the reason I am against right to work is I think we need balance between management and labor. I don't want labor to have too much power, but when the bosses have too much power, take the Gilded Age, other times, that's when revolution, political revolution happens. We need a strong middle class. And so I get that unions do excess. I get bosses do excess. That's why we need a check and balance on each other. And I'm strongly against right to work for that.
Do you think
this is the other thing? There were no big companies. This was a solution looking for a problem. There were no big companies. There was nobody here begging for this. This was some big donors. This was a political stunt. And they walked into the wrong place. We're fine in Missouri. Leave them alone.
But this issue is not going to come back, is it? Because of the margin?
Oh, yeah. I think it will. Not right away. So I actually think what happened here is that labor clearly was intended and signaled that they're going to put in every dime they got. And I think the bosses were like, that's fine. Let's spend them down, and then we'll just have the legislature undo it. Now, I don't think they thought it would get creamed the way it did.
Right.
I still think it's their intention to undo it, but not right away. They will wait till the coast is clear. How many years that is, I don't know. 2, 3, 4, 5, nobody knows for sure. But absolutely, as long as there's a Republican majority in both houses, they will come back and put
They shouldn't.
They will.
At this point,
not right away, though. They
shouldn't.
But back to my point, we are going to have to fend off these other states saying they're the place to come be. I mean, that is competition we're going to have to worry about.
Workforce. That's the key.
Educated workforce. Listen, you know, most businesses don't think of an us against them, guys. I mean, corporate owners, business owners like myself don't think us against them. It's a third, a third, a third. You need a crazy entrepreneur like me that goes out and does it. You need investment capital, and those guys expect to be paid back with return. And you need labor. And your hope is, as an entrepreneur, that the labor guys go out and start business too. And you can say, hey, great, way to go. It really is a third, a third, a third. It's not an us against them. I am concerned, though. Kentucky, Tennessee, and those others are going to badmouth Missouri. So we better be ready for that onslaught.
So there is some stuff where cheap labor, where you do want to have just plain old cheap labor. But what I hear from the bosses, and one reason I think, Jane, that they didn't come out as strongly in favor of this is, this probably is the third or fourth element of attracting a business or growing a business. Number one above all else right now is an educated, quality workforce. And we don't have it right now.
I agree.
Okay?
That's right.
Now,
I don't
have all the answers on how we get it, but Missouri does not have it right
so
now.
So one of the issues that I had from the very beginning with Right to Work, and I think it's confusing even to those of us who are union members, so I'm SAG-AFTRA, I don't think it's fair. I'll make a little analogy here. I don't think it's fair. If Jane wants to be a full-time presence on CAMWEX, which God help us if that ever happens.
I'm with you, Jane.
It would
right?
be your dream, dear.
Yeah, I don't know, but it would be a nightmare. But anyway, if she wanted to do that, you would have to join
the union.
All right, so you are in
am.
The union because
I'm already
right,
a union.
So this
union.
Is good. But if Chris Goodson or Jeff Rainford, you'd have to join the union. Jane has to because she's on a fair amount of time. I can't have my producers on too much because they're not in the union.
It's crazy.
Now, I like my union, and I like my pension, but I do think it's a little weird because if given the choice, people would say, well, maybe I like the union. I'll pay the dues. On the flip side here, this is what troubled me, is I don't think that people, if Prop A would have passed and Right to Work is in effect, should be afforded the same benefits as me paying dues into a union if you're not paying, and that's the problem.
That's the bargain, because federal law requires that the unions represent everybody, whether they're in the union or not. So if you're going to break the bargain and say Right to Work, well, then you have to say the unions don't have to represent. There's no freeloading here.
I agree with both of you on that,
fair.
But the one thing that the Right to Work Yes vote should have done was say, they could have probably got some votes saying you're being forced to do this, because the American people don't like to be forced to do something. Just
and
like
you're
your
being
point,
forced
Mark,
to take the benefits.
No, I get that part. But if somebody says, hey, you got to join this club as a right to work here, I'd say screw you.
Well, then all the Republicans need to go to Congress and say, then you take away the provision of
but
federal
American
law
people
that requires
don't like to be forced.
But the unions are being forced to represent people. So you can't
have
it both ways.
That would have been my marketing campaign. They're forcing us to do
so. So you're taking the libertarian point of view.
Of course.
Libertarians don't control. But they don't control either party right now. Trump is not a libertarian, okay? And clearly our party is not the party of freedom either.
Right.
There is no evidence of a libertarian streak in America right now.
Well,
the right wants to crush the left. The left wants to crush the right.
And the middle is getting...
You're going to the party thing. I don't want to join the party.
There's no freedom caucus anymore.
In the middle is who's getting squeezed.
I think there's... plenty of people in the middle who don't even know that they are libertarian, but they don't like a lot of big government. They're not crazy on the social issues.
Right.
They want the government to stay out of things.
Mark,
and those
are
the people in the middle.
They don't like anything big. They don't like big government. They don't like big business.
That's
they don't
the
like
American
big labor.
No, that's
they
not
don't
true.
Like big
you're talking.
Religion.
You're confusing
there's
the
a lot
Democrats
of,
with the people on my side.
No, there's a lot of distrust about big in America right now. Big institutions. People are not joining things anymore. They aren't joining churches. They're not joining fraternities.
They're distrustful.
They're distrustful. I think that there was some evidence given it was a one-sided campaign. That there's distrust of big business. I think if the campaign was one way or the other side, there would be big distrust of big labor.
Hold your thoughts. It's the Reardon Roundtable live at the PGA Championship in the National Car Rental Studio. National, the official rental car of the PGA Championship, as Siri goes off in the background. I don't know how that happened. Chris Goodson, Jeff Rainford, Jane Duker. We're coming back with more on KMOX.
Live from the 100th PGA Championship at Belle Reve Country Club and the National Car Rental Studios, it's Mark Reardon.
When you stop your backswing at the top to look at the position of your hands, there are two things you learn. How many hands you have and which hand has the glove on it.
Now, back to Mark Reardon on your official PGA Championship information station, KMOX.
Welcome back to the 100th PGA Championship at Belle Reve Country Club. It is a live Reardon Roundtable, and it was nice that some of these guys had tickets to get in here already because I didn't have to get them credentialed, Chris Goodson and Jeff Rainford, because I always wanted to do the roundtable out here. But quite candidly, originally the plan was for me to be out here and somebody else to be back at the studio, which wouldn't have been fun. So Jane's here, Chris Goodson, Jeff Rainford, thank you for making it out here.
Well, I jumped the fence. There were a bunch of guys in black chasing me, but I just ended up here.
You have broken a lot of laws today. I'm sorry. Are we
don't
enabling?
Worry about it. We're in St. Louis County. If you got arrested, right. You'd all be good.
I won't get prosecuted.
Wow.
McCullough's here till January.
All right, Chris Goodson, let me start with you. Yep. One of the other, I guess, election results that we knew was going to happen, although I don't know about you guys, I am shocked, and I say shocked, that Austin Peterson was not able to win that Republican primary for the United States Senate. But now we have Hawley and McCaskill.
What about Courtland Sykes?
Oh, Courtland Sykes.
He was my favorite. Yeah. He was like an eagle. You know,
What's funny is those guys got fewer votes than a couple of people that nobody knew. Nobody knew them, and then nobody knew the other people. Goodson, big race. Who wins?
Well, if you asked me 6 months ago, I would have said Senator McCaskill, because she always seems to pull it off, and she's strong. But I think I looked at the vote count, and I'm not a numbers geek like Rainford and Duker here, but it looks like more Republicans voted, right, in the primary. And you know, Trump won by 18, what, how much percent?
19%
in Missouri.
Yep.
So I think it's a squeaker.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think Hawley has any skeletons in his closet. I mean, I'm sure everybody's trying to dig up dirt on both sides.
Yeah, the best they have is pictures of him at a gym working out.
Right.
You guys think that's a big deal.
Yeah,
I find him, I go,
hey, the millennial world goes, I try to work out when I can. If it's 11 o'clock at night or 8 in the morning, I can get on my phone, I can do email stuff. But hold on, let me say this about Sarah McCaskill. I don't think any dirt on her or her husband or anything is going to have any effect. I just think you're going to see a little bit of a change mode. That happens all the time. Eventually, you want to get a change in office, and I think Hawley will be the change as long as nothing bad comes out about him. Well,
I think there's two things against Hawley. One of them is I hear more complaints about Hawley from Republicans than I do Democrats.
Exactly.
That there's no fire in his belly, that he doesn't. I heard it over. I was over in our box and we're talking politics.
I said,
what's the deal on Hawley? A couple Republicans are like, we go to all the events. He's never there. It's almost Labor Day.
But who are they going to vote for? You think they're going to vote for Claire?
Yeah.
You think they're not going to vote in that race?
What I'm getting at is he's probably not going to add value. What it's going to come down to is what do the voters think of Claire and what do the voters think of Trump? Hawley's almost like a prop in this whole thing.
This is the other thing. They still have the problem among the Republicans that there's still a group of Greitens supporters that are never going to forgive him. Two, you also have...
I disagree.
Greitens who?
Greitens
who? I think it'll wear off.
You want to see how Greitens did?
No, yeah.
The prosecutor in Cole County got thrown out, right? Yep. Montevani didn't win because of his ties to Greitens. It's still there.
No, the Greitens factor.
The drag is still there.
Montevani, even though he was a Republican, he ran as a Democrat. You understand that, right? So the Democrats held that against him.
He supported Greitens.
But here's my thing about, look, I like Josh. I've had him on my show for years as my official constitutional law expert. I think he's extremely smart. He's a sharp guy. You guys can laugh all you want. I think he oozes United States Senator. I think he'd be a great member of the United States Senate. Here's what happens with some of these guys, though, and I'm concerned about this with Josh. I wish he would just speak his mind and answer questions because they get so rehearsed. This happened with Greitens, too.
Remember what happened to Bob Dole? He was so stiff. And Bob Dole's a funny guy.
Right.
And I
would say, too, this even happened with George W. Bush. And I don't know, sometimes it happens with the microphone. He's a great example because if you met him in person, you guys probably have. Nicest guy, just really friendly, funny. He's not as geeky or stupid as people were led to believe. But Josh, and this is what wins elections, and I understand that. He's going to hammer the talking points. It worked for Eric Greitens. No matter what you want to say about the campaign, you guys wanted to make fun of the AK-47 or whatever, the M-16, but that worked in Missouri. So what's going to work in Missouri this time is that there are a lot of people, and I know you, and I like Senator McCaskill personally. I think she's out of touch on the issues. From my perspective, she's not going to vote for Judge Kavanaugh, and I think that it's probably time for change, to no, Chris's point.
No, and Mark, and you hit it right on the head. I was with Attorney General Hawley at a function, and you know me, I have no filter. I said exactly that. I said, my biggest complaint on you is that you speak very by the book. Why don't you talk like you do to your wife when you're watching the news station?
He can do that because he's done it plenty.
No, when you're in the kitchen and you're sitting there complaining, I said, I bet that comes out. You need to talk like that because I know Trump enters every conversation in our life right now. But Trump actually speaks off the cuff. One of his pluses is, and why people like him, he speaks kind of from the heart, and he will speak off the cuff. Now, if that's not Josh's M.O., then he shouldn't pretend to be that, but he should be a little more informal and a little more casual in his conversation.
Well, except the problem here is this is not a 19-point race that he's trying not to lose. Right. This is a margin of error race. If he doesn't have the fire in his belly, is that worth 10 points? No. Is it worth 1 or 2 or 3 points? It very
Which
well might be.
Which is what's going to decide this race.
Right.
And that's what he doesn't want it. That's the problem with this guy. You can tell by everything
now,
he
Jane,
does.
Now, Jane, you're being very general
he
there. He wouldn't
want
file
it.
For office if he didn't want it.
Oh, no.
That.
I think
hold on.
But
there's different levels of wanting
it. There's different levels of wanting
it. This is a U.S. Senate race. He's not running for alderman. You've got to be willing to kill your mother to win this race. So, yeah, does he want it? Yeah, kind of like.
I thought you were supposed to serve your country and do good work.
Yeah,
right. Well, he wants to be a judge.
Right.
I'm sitting with some political veterans here, Reardon.
Well, yeah, no, I mean, and I think it shows through. She's been to every county in this state. He hasn't.
She wants it.
She wants it. And no one will outwork her. And that's where the rubber meets the road on a race that could be decided with 20,000 votes.
A couple of these people who lost Tuesday, did they campaign? Yeah, but kind of half-heartedly, and they lost.
Are we doing a steak dinner again? Does Reardon still owe you the steak?
Yeah, he still
dinner?
Owes me for the last week.
Well, no, hold on. But it's a margin of error race. Let's not get carried away here.
It's 20,000
votes. I'm not saying
votes.
It's clear by 20 votes. This is a margin of error race.
You've got to pick a winner.
We will not
right?
know until midnight.
Well,
I'm taking Claire.
No, this isn't seventh grade girls volleyball where everybody wins. Either there's a winner or
correct.
A loser. So.
She's going to win. She's going to outwork them.
Predicting the future in this race or any race like it is hazardous. I'm taking her, but.
Keep in mind, these are the two that thought that Chris Koster was an absolute slam dunk 2 days before the election or
no.
whatever, too.
Actually, after Comey came out, I knew we were going to get smoked. Before Comey came out, I thought he was going to win. After Comey came out, it was like dead man walking.
Reardon, you got that on done. Tape, don't you? We can pull that.
Yeah,
tape.
We can pull that anytime.
You still owe me a
sure.
steak dinner for the last Senate race, Mark. So when you pay that off, we can have a discussion.
I'll make a deal with you.
Hey, I lost a dinner to Bruce Franks over the county prosecutor's race. So,
ooh, I'd like to be at that dinner.
Predicting the future is hazardous to your health.
Absolutely. But I would take the person who works over the person who doesn't.
I would take
Democratic enthusiasm.
What makes you think Hawley's not working?
That is ridiculous.
Seriously,
because he's never around. Talk to Republicans. Don't tell us.
All the people out here in this country
they're
club
like,
who
get
are Republicans.
Out.
You guys are playing insider baseball.
Country
complete
club.
Insider baseball.
I guess we'll
you
see.
Know what the regular folks who elected some auditor from outstate Missouri that no one's ever
a
heard
woman.
Of think? They don't
Amen.
Care about any
a
of that.
Woman.
They don't care about
so,
that.
Women care about
so,
women.
So Reardon, Duker and Rainford saying all Republicans are country club. You know, they're normal guys like us that jump the fence.
No, there's Mary you know, I Republicans.
Literally, right?
And
I heard,
Mary
and by the way, though, I do have to say a shocker. I heard Garth Brooks coming into the Belrieve Country Club. That has to be a first.
That might
oh,
be
no,
a first.
No, no. The,
that might be
the
a
last
first.
Time I was here, Darius Rucker was in the parking lot. All kinds of people come through here.
That's right.
Crazy, too. All right, let's see here. I got a couple of topics, but I have to trim them down just a little bit because we're running out of time. So you know what? Let's talk about something positive. We started with sports. Let's end with sports here. How about Matt Carpenter right now, Jeff Rainford, and the Cardinals? Look, I don't know if they're going to make the wild card or go on a bigger run, but after a torturous season where the fans were really let down by some of the moves by Mike Matheny, the quality of the middle relief, it's been fun to see these guys playing the last couple weeks.
Not only is he hitting home runs, but he's hitting like game-winning home runs.
Right.
Now, I will have to be Chris Goodson and be a little cynical here. The guy ought to be batting third, but he's a head case, and he can't bat third. So you have your leadoff guy hitting 36 solo home runs. But nonetheless, it is so fun to
it's
watch.
It's better than
but
it was
what's
before.
Funner is watching these kid pitchers.
I
these
love
kids
it.
Are unbelievable.
Right. And,
I like what they've done. My concern is there's no player leadership. I mean, I like Yachty, but he's really not the leader. We need that Will Clark type guy, those type guys right now with the team, and that's
well,
not
allow
there.
Somebody to
so
step
that's
up.
Why I don't think we make it.
Well, I agree, but I think it will develop. It will develop some leaders
next year,
and I think there was a void, and hopefully somebody's going to walk through it.
It's not
so
all going to
have the kid
problem.
Who had the arm surgeries back next year.
Yeah,
you know their pitch. They're going to be so deep in pitching next year.
And Wainwright's sideline, he really can't be that leader that he used to be. You know, not only
well, he can be a clubhouse leader though, but
yeah, but nobody looks at a pitcher at that. I mean, you actually have to be a player too.
Yeah, no, I think that look, Cardinals fans are very smart, and we. Be very excited if there's some weird run like we had in 2011 and we make the wild card or somehow win the division. But it's about the future.
We're seeing a change, and I think we understand that this is a direction that was better. We're going in the right direction.
Yeah, but that direction better really improve in the next couple of years. And then that raises the question about Mike Schilt. I don't know if Mike Schilt's the guy
or
not.
He is. They brought him. Just like they bring players up through the minor leagues to play in their teams. They developed him through the minor leagues to be their manager.
Chris, I want a Madden type coach. Can't believe I'm saying this. I want the Madden type coach from the Cubs.
I like Joe Madden, but here's the thing: these players from Memphis, they love him. They love Stubby Clapp. Stubby Clapp's going to get a look as well. We're out of time. Chris, thanks for making it out here. We're going to get you some towels to wipe off the sweat because he's sporting the jacket. Rainford and I are playing golf tomorrow morning. We're playing tomorrow morning, Paradise Valley. That's my home course because I live right across the street. Jane Duker is going to hang with me next hour from the National Cardinals Studio live at the PGA Championship. Back with more in a moment.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.